to the Columbia Center for Spiritual Living, a welcoming and diverse community whose vision it is to contribute to a world that works for everyone. The inspirational message you are about to hear will expand your idea of what is possible in life right now and affirm your soul's knowing in taking that right next step towards your greatest good.
Let's take a breath together. I want to first welcome the new faces and let you know who I am. I am Reverend Rafe Ellis, and I am honored and privileged to be the senior minister here at Columbia Center for Spiritual Living. This morning we are talking about the tyranny of the or. It's amazing that two little letters can have so much power. And what has come to me this morning, as often does, is like I do all this work to write a talk, and I'm not even sure why anymore, because it changes while I'm sitting here. It's like, okay. So I'm going to invite you to just go within for a minute and imagine the expansiveness as far as you can feel it in every direction. The openness, the infinite possibility of life. Really let the magnitude of that sink in. You got it? So let's do a little call and response game. Up or high or big or right or I love it. Left or wrong. See? It's not always an exact. Right? My way or I know my people. Now, how does your energy feel? Feel different than it did when you were in all that expansiveness? We found this thing under here. Laura, it's gone. I was going to use that little net. No, it's okay. We don't know why there was a little tennis net under here, but there was. And then I had the notion to use it, because what happens with this or is we start with this huge spectrum. No, my right hand is on the other side of the spectrum. You can't see it over there, but it is. It thinks it is. And as we or, the ends get closer and closer and closer until there is no longer a spectrum. Infinite possibility has ceased to exist. For some reason, other than I now know how much I enjoy him, Fyodor Dostoevsky came to me this week. And he says one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard. The best way to keep a prisoner from escaping is to make sure he never knows he's in prison. Because you will make no attempt to escape. And I submit to you that or is perhaps the most crowded linguistic prison that we've created, and we don't even know we're in it. Because it builds walls that imprison us from even taking a walk in the prison yard. It's a very small cell that we've relegated ourselves to living in. Or, by definition, is exactly that. Or. And it comes with the implied either or. Okay? So it brings us down to two things. All the things that don't work in my life pretty much live in that category. And then when I find something that doesn't work, I start looking for the one other thing that does work, as if there is only one other thing in infinite possibility. Only one of them will work.
Yes.
Really? That's a very small prison with no way out. The origin, this is where my social justice person comes out. The origin of the word or is other. And in our social constructs, it is the othering through opposites that is hurting all of humanity. It is the othering in opposites, white or black, gay or straight. We've created a very tiny binary world. You're either rich or poor. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. The tyranny of it, the definition of tyranny, cruel, oppressive, unreasonable, and arbitrary use of power or control over another. The tyranny of or. My favorite part, the word derives from the Latin tyrannus, meaning illegitimate ruler. Illegitimate. Has no legitimacy. None. So this or thing, We can bury that if we choose. If we choose. And choosing to get rid of or is really scary, or we would have already done it. No matter how much discontent it brings us, we dig our heels in. We kill one another over this or. Now, again, why things come up for me in terms of talks I have surrendered to, I don't need to know. But the biblical reference that has just been right there for 2 weeks now is Genesis 11 verses 1 through 9. If you're a Bible person, you may recall that as the story of the Tower of Babel, or at least as it's presented. Historically, there is no evidence that there was ever a tower in Babel. Factually, the term Tower of Babel is nowhere in the Bible. There is a city of Babel in which they described building a tower. But there is no reference to a Tower of Babel in the Bible. What's interesting to me is this concept of or, especially in terms of how we teach spirituality, that it's either this way or that way. So what I grew up learning about the Tower of Babel is it was God intervening to show humanity who's boss. That's the short version of it. But it's interpreted as humanity attempting to build a tower into the heavens that circumceded God, and God said, I ain't having it, and punished everybody by making them speak a different language. That's the story I got. When I read that passage in context, and this is an important piece, and because of that, it was named Babel, meaning confusion. Well, if you go back to chapter 10, it references the city of Babel, so it was already named. Babel is Hebrew, it comes from the Hebrew Babylon. So the act of building the tower clearly did not create naming the city Babel, because it was already there a chapter before. So I'm just going to call lie on that version, because it's right there. The other interesting thing is that if you read historically and study, the building materials of the time were stone and mortar. And in this particular story, and I call it a story on purpose because I think it's an allegory like much of the Bible. In this particular story, the reference is, let's build bricks. Now, there is a vast difference between stones and bricks. It also talks earlier in Genesis, because this came after the flood, right? And so it's referenced that people were separated throughout the land from the flood. So they're already separated. Yet when the story is told, the confusion of language separated people. I don't think so. It was already happening. It was already happening. The idea of building bricks versus using stones, what is significant to me about that are bricks are all the same. We have a society that has traveled into this land, and now we have a society that's saying, let's create sameness. It says right there in the biblical reference that they were already of one lip. And then the distinction goes to tongue, which is how people speak. Right? It already acknowledges the oneness. And the analogy to stone is, even though every stone is different, we're one. But then humanity decides sameness is the supreme way to be. I believe that's what this story is really about. Let's create bricks. Let's make everybody the same and build this society of supremacy. I'm just saying that maybe could be what it's about. More than God punishing its creation by making it speak different languages. I think the different languages were already happening, and I think there's evidence for that in the Bible. But this idea of either or, we've narrowed it so tightly that we misinterpret oneness as meaning sameness. And if you're not like me, you're not a part of me. Really? And the most dangerous part of all of this, again going to Fyodor Dostoevsky, he says this in The Brothers, yeah, I'm not even going to try to pronounce that. Above all, do not lie to yourself. A man who lies to himself and listens to his own lies comes to a point where he does not discern any truth either in himself or anywhere around him, and thus falls into disrespect towards himself and others. Not respecting anyone, he ceases to love. And having no love, he gives himself up to passions and coarse pleasures in order to occupy and amuse himself. And in his vices reaches complete bestiality. And it all comes from lying continually to others and himself. A man who lies to himself is often the first to take offense. I ain't judging, I'm just reading what the man wrote. It sometimes feels very good to take offense, doesn't it? And surely he knows that no one has offended him, and that he himself has invented the offense and told lies just for the beauty of it. That he has exaggerated for the sake of effect. That he has picked up on a word and made a mountain out of a pea. He knows all of that, and still he is the first to take offense. He likes feeling offended. It gives him great pleasure, and thus he reaches the point of real hostility. See humanity in that anywhere? I do. And all of that is this tyranny, this illegitimate or, this place of power over. And I submit to you that in oneness there is no sameness. That in difference there is no separation. This paradox. God is big enough that it creates in multiplicity still one. Now that's hard for us in this human realm to wrap our heads around. It is. We even name our fingers. We even give our fingers different names. They're part of the same hand. The hand is part of the same body, but they got different names. Because we separate. We separate and we separate and we separate. Is my shoulder good or bad right now? I don't know. It's my shoulder. What if it's neither? What if it's both? Right? What if we begin to just at least consider getting rid of or? Just consider it. Because the minute you do, the gap opens. Because just considering it creates some degree of possibility. I am not going to stand here and say, here's a bucket, leave all your ores in the bucket, go forth and have a fabulous life, because that would just be stupid. Because we have to navigate our human stuff. But what I will suggest to you is there are ways around it. And one of those is to stop lying. Stop lying to ourselves. Stop pretending like your or is faithful and someone else's is not. Because this is what Ernest Holmes says about that. And if this is the stuff that scared me into a very clear, deep spiritual practice, this right here. It is not going to take any more faith than we now have for one of the greatest lessons we can learn about faith is that we always possess it. Yes. You got that? You always possess faith. But too often we are using it negatively. All those things that you believe are crap, you have faith in the crapness of that thing. As a matter of fact, we are always, where did my page go? We are always affirming something. Always. Be it good or for ill. We are always either saying, I can or I cannot. What we need to do is to eliminate the negative and accentuate the positive. Anybody else just see Jiminy Cricket? I just have a Disney character dancing across my head. I love it. In doing this, we shall gradually acquire the habit of affirmative thinking. It's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen by you coming in here once a week, hearing me talk about it, and then going out the door and doing nothing with it. It's a practice. And if you have, if you're operating in the either or, either I'm getting it all right or I'm getting it all wrong, I submit to you that you're invested in getting it all wrong. Because that's what you have faith in. Every place where I find one of those opposites, this is the hardest thing to really own and say out loud. Every place where I have the opposite is where I believe most. Or I wouldn't have it. This is your good idea. Or, which is my belief. We get to flip that paradigm. We get to get out of everybody else's business and deal with the either ors that are operating in you. Because to be up in somebody else's business is code for you're wrong, I'm right, which is one of the most insidious, ugly either ors that we use and pretend that we don't. So I'm going to wrap up with this, because there's another way to use or, and we're actually going to talk about that next week. Next week, we're going to talk about the genius of the and. Right? And you can actually use or to open yourselves up to that and. And it goes like this. Up until now, I have believed this. And people have told me this. And what I think is available is this. Or there could be something else. See, if we just use the or, there could be something else. I believe this, I believe this, I believe this, or everything I know could be wrong. Now we're using or to open the prison to get some fresh air. Right? You get to choose. And I will never be checking, you know. So Deborah, how did you use or this week? Could you, I don't know. It's none of my business. My business isn't to monitor how you use these teachings. My business is to offer it to you. My business is to meet you right where you are. To do everything I can to help you understand it. I have a t-shirt that Deborah got me years ago when I was early in ministry that says, I can explain it to you, but I can't understand it for you. And that's just true. But I will meet you in whatever trench or whatever mountain you find yourself, and we'll do it together. I will hold your hand. I will do everything I can to support you, but I cannot do it for you. And I won't chase you. You got my phone number. Use it. I'll be right there when you do. But it would be insulting for me to chase you down and say, you know, I noticed this behavior and I think this is going on, so I'm here to save you. No. Dudley do right, I am not. But I know in every fiber of my being that you are already equipped with every answer that you're looking for. That you already are infinite possibility and form. And some days, folks, it's so simple. I talked with a young man earlier this week, and he was describing himself as an inner monster. Because that's what he felt like. And what came to me, the words that came to me in this conversation with truly a total stranger was, You are not a monster. You never have been. The monster inside of you is pain. It is not who you are. It is something you are experiencing, and that can change, and then you get to be who you are. And it shifted everything for him. To the point where now he's texting me wanting to know if his buddies can call me. I'm like, okay. Because that's how it's contagious. And it's tiny little things. And so I invite you this week, when you catch yourself in the either or, when you catch yourself polarizing, and you'll notice it first when you're pointing fingers at other people. Let's just be honest about that. Right? So when you catch yourself othering people, just start by taking a breath. And instead of or, perhaps step into the or, and invite a different perspective. Change how you use the word or. Just start there. Let's take this into prayer. How good it is to know that there is only one infinite everything that creates out of itself, into itself, to experience itself in multiplicity. That all life is the divine in form. That it has created in its image, and so we must be its image. We must be. And knowing this, I know that I am a divine, intentional, on purpose idea in the mind of God to know itself as this thing I call my life that is its life. And what is true of me is true of all. So I speak my word, claiming and affirming that the consciousness that we are is bubbling up through everything unlike it. To be seen, to be felt, to be known, to be shared, to be lived, to be expanded, to be cherished, to be celebrated. So grateful to know that this is how it works, and that it's always working, always working. And so I am diligent about what I am holding in consciousness, where I am funneling consciousness, to know the expansive, unlimited truth of this one thing that I call God, life, love, peace, power, presence. I celebrate, and knowing that it always responds yes to itself, I know that it's done. And so I can confidently release, knowing there is no waiting period, and be about the business of seeing it in my life as promised. And so I invite you, if any of these words resonate with you, that you join me to make it your own as we say together, and so it is. I love you.
Thank you for listening. If you have received a value, we invite you to share this podcast and check out our website, columbiacsl.com, to sign up for our weekly newsletter, providing thought-provoking blogs and details on our upcoming classes and community events. And we always are pleased to hear from you. You can reach us at podcast@columbiacsl.com. Thank you. Blessings on your journey.